News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
It is, and it's a beautiful morning, too. Mobile Mornings at about 8:07 now. And inching toward 50 degrees.
Oh.
49 right now. Got a low of 40 this morning, and it was kind of brisk around 6 this morning. That front came through and kind of lit us up a little bit, but it looks like it's going to be overall a very nice weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be nice all the way until maybe the final parade rolls. Fat Tuesday night at 6 when the OOMs, the Order of Myths, roll in Mobile. That's the next chance, real chance we have of any potentially heavy rain. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it'll look like, but mm-hmm. the rest of it's looking great. And that's great news for a lot of reasons. And one of those is that the Navy is in town. USS McFaul coming into port today. And on the line to talk with us about that right now is Brian Campbell, retired U.S. Navy Reserves Commander. Good morning, Brian. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Brian, I think one thing we want to let people know is that because of, you were saying here before we got this on-the-air interview going, that there is a bit of a shortage of parking if you don't get down there soon in the Water Street area, and the reason being that now the convention center right there on the water is being used by the for the Mardi Gras balls and such, with the convention center now a pile of rubble over by Church Street. So that just means it might be a little tighter if you're trying to get down to see the vessel itself.
Yeah, that's correct. We'll be doing tours. We have a welcome ceremony today at 1100. I just got off the phone with the ship. They're going to be coming up the channel. If people along Middle Bay probably can see it right now. But they'll be coming up, getting pierside about 9:30 this morning. The mayor will be down here helping welcome the ship at 1100, and we'll be doing a nice ceremony that's open to the public. But if parking gets to be an issue for our tours, which are going to occur on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., just get down early to get a parking spot. The Renaissance, obviously, you can park in the garage there or anywhere on the streets and stuff that there's available parking. But, you know, just get there and be patient, because the convention center parking lot is really already reserved by a lot of organizations doing their balls.
Got it.
Okay. Brian, this is always a big deal for us, of course, to see these sailors come into town, and of course the ship they ride in on, but it's a big deal for them too. I imagine they have quite a good time when they come into port.
Yeah, this is a great time for them. I mean, this ship is in what they call a sustainment phase, but you know, that means they're basically can be deployed at notice.
Wow.
So this is a nice break for them. They're doing a lot of recertifications on the way down here. When they leave, they'll be doing a big engineering recertification as well. But that, you know, this is a chance for them to kind of, I would say, let their proverbial hair down, but their hair's not very long in the Navy, and enjoy themselves.
Yeah. How many sailors in all are we talking about that are going to be hitting the streets that we can say thank you to and welcome them to Mobile?
Yeah. This ship will have a complement of about 300.
Wow.
So you're going to have about 60 officers and chiefs, petty officers, and the rest will be enlisted. And, you know, they're excited. We have a lot of people in the Mobile are going to be a host of sailor program, and they're having them out to dinner or their houses for dinner or their law firms to watch parades. So we've already set all that up in motion. But if you see a sailor walking out in town, I'd encourage you to say thank you for your service.
Sure.
And, you know, buy them a cold beer.
Yeah, I'm going to do just that.
No doubt. And also, you know, this tour, the McFaul destroyer, and it's been here before, so there may be some folks who've already toured it. But, you know, the kids would love to see this. Also the big kids.
That's a good point. Take your kids down there.
Big kids love to see a good destroyer, too.
You make a great point. I remember my dad taking me to see the battleship as a kid, and, you know, that truly was sparked my interest in wanting to be in the Navy and drive ships, you know, like I did eventually, right?
Wow.
But so, yeah, I think it's great for a dad as you're out there. We have Navy Sea Cadets riding the ship right now, coming up the bay with the ship. And we do that every year when there's great weather like we have today. So by all means, you know, if people get involved with the Navy League and they want to bring their son or daughter out to ride a ship, but you never know. They could be going to the Naval Academy one day like I did.
Yeah, that's cool. And I just saw, I was looking up the McFall, 11th ship of that class to be built at Ingalls in Pascagoula. So almost a homecoming.
How about that?
USS McFall near Pascagoula. So again, these tours, Brian, let's start with the welcoming ceremony.
And if they're free.
Okay.
They're free, so, yeah.
The tours are free. The welcoming ceremony, 1,100 today, you said. Will that be when the destroyer is actually coming in?
Yeah, the destroyer will actually be coming in right about 9:30. So if you want to see it, mm-hmm. you're from your office building at the, you know, downtown, you'll look out around 9 o'clock. You're going to see it going by the coal terminal and then pulling pierside literally about 9:30. So cool. Literally, anybody downtown should be able to see the ship. And anybody along the bay right now should be able to look out on a beautiful day like today and see her.
Is that on the north side of the convention center? Is that where the pier is?
Exactly. Okay. The Alabama Port Authority has given us their most prestigious, best pier we could have, Pier 2. But it's right on the north side of the convention center, and easy access for the sailors to get off the ship, walk straight and into downtown.
I think I've been to this one time. It is the coolest thing. It really is. It's a short ceremony, but a ceremony nonetheless. And then here comes the Navy.
Yeah, that's right. So free tours tomorrow through Sunday, or I should say through Monday, 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. No reservation required. And do your best to find the parking, as Brian said there. Thank you so much for coming on and letting us know about this once again. And this is a great tradition. I'm glad to see it continue.
Thanks a lot. Go Navy, guys. Appreciate you.
He's making sure we don't root for Army.
Or Air Force, but, you know, I've got family. So I'm Air Force all the way, at least on the football field. And in war, I guess that's safe to say.
So, that is safe to say.
A lot to get to this hour, and we can talk a little Mardi Gras. Maybe if you've been out to any of these parades, anything interesting happened? You know, normally we're talking about some parade controversy.
We had a few last year.
We've had, you know, the beads to the face, knocking people out. We had the horse thing last year.
We had the plastic tearing up the street cleaners.
I guess that's the big controversy this year, is just glow sticks.
Glow sticks,
and they're just trying to keep them off the streets.
Yeah.
That's not very dramatic.
Yeah.
But if you've seen anything interesting or of note, 251-343-0106. But back in action tonight, 6:30 in Mobile with the crew of Columbus and crew day second line. In Fairhope, they roll tonight, 6:45, Maids of Jubilee. Tomorrow, a big day for parading, a big day for FM Talk 106.5.
It is a big day for us because it is the one day that and the one parade that we're involved in. And, of course, the weather's going to be wonderful, so the crowds are going to be really big as they get ready for the on Saturday night. It's generally one of the biggest nights of the year.
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
The crowds are going to be building during the day, and we'll be able to I hope we have enough stuff to throw. It's a long parade route. We'll try to get all that settled before we take off. We've got to get down there early. You know how that is. And then we're setting up, I guess, a little off the Civic Center. Things have been changed a little bit with what's going on at the Civic Center right now, the construction, whatever you want to call it.
Destruction.
There's a lot of destruction going on down there. But it's going to be fun. And we usually wrap that up, get back to our automobiles in the neighborhood of 2:30 or 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then decide whether you want to stay and hang out or get out of town for some of the madness.
Should be big crowds with the weather, it's looking. The first parade tomorrow will actually be the Foley Parade at 11. And then at noon, that's when we'll start rolling in the floral in Mobile with St. Jude, the Joy of Life ball. Of course, we were at just not that long ago.
Right.
So a great reason to roll. I mean, how can you beat that? But also a lot of other organizations rolling in that floral parade as well. You have the Pritchard Parade starts at noon. Saraland Parade starts at noon. Crew of Mullet Mates at Mullet Point at 2 tomorrow. MOT start rolling at 5:45 tomorrow night, downtown Mobile.
5:45.
Mystics of Pleasure at 6. Loxley has their parade at 6:30. That's their inaugural, right? That's the first Loxley Mardi Gras parade.
And I guess like with more communities holding parades, like Saraland now, that might cut down.
That's a good point.
In the size of the crowds in Mobile since they have their own parade.
Mm-hmm.
I've been at the Saraland Christmas Parade. Don't believe I've ever been to the Saraland Mardi Gras.
The Crew of Sparta. And then Daphne rolling tomorrow night at 6:45, the Shadow Barons. And then, of course, Joe Kane Day. The parade starts then in Mobile at 2, but they start on Fort Morgan at 1. So anyway, we could go through the schedule. It would take the rest of this hour. There's a whole lot to do over the weekend. And, yeah, let us know what you're feeling or thinking or going to. 251-343-0106. A lot we could talk about this hour as well. From the international to the domestic to just state politics.
And boy, no kidding.
How many, I mean, I know in your story you said Trump has hosted four, Zelensky today will be the fourth European leader to be hosted by Trump this week.
Yeah.
Now, I remember Macron was Tuesday. You had Starmer yesterday, the UK Prime Minister, Zelensky today. I'm having trouble picking up the fourth one,
which is sad
for whoever that was.
Well, yeah. In the past week, it's been four. So Macron and
I'll have to double check. I'm sure whoever it is would be Starmer. Obvious. But, you know, this all was spurred by, you know, Trump pushing for negotiations on ending the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, we're going to get around to a little bit of what I don't know what you think about Rubio as the Secretary of State. Maybe you could say, hey, it's how can you judge? It's really early in. But I really like the words he uses and the temperament that he uses, and it kind of it's kind of like a good cop, bad cop in a way with Trump, who can fly off the handle. It's funny that he said yesterday. I didn't find this quote though, but he said, I didn't even realize I called Zelensky a dictator. Oh, my bad. But that was just a week ago. But you know how Trump can run a little hot and cold. But there's also probably some reasoning behind that, and I heard a guy on this morning with Gordon Deal talking about that. He said a lot of people might have a problem, and I've been following politics a long time. I don't always get what Trump's up to, but you should sit back and wait for it. And it turns out that often it's part of the negotiating strategy, and in the end, does it work? And that's the point we were making last week was, well, okay, this UN resolution, whatever, it's like a star at the end of the day that your kid gets at school. They behave today.
Well, it was obvious what he was doing, and he said as much that day when asked about it, where he said, I'm not going to talk about that right now, but it's obvious why we voted the way we did.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, there were your usual articles written and posts posted. But even really Democrats, and I know we've been surprised at the lack of pushback overall since Trump took office, lack of protests and the such, even though there have been some. But really, even that, they weren't pushing back too hard on that vote.
On that vote in particular.
I think everyone understood what it meant.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And there has been some screaming on the Democrat side. We can get to that as well. Also, maybe we'll just at least take a moment to examine Jake Tapper coming out with this book. You can pre-order it now. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And it's about the decline of Biden and who was in on it. And a lot of people on the right are saying, Jake Tapper was in on it because he was criticizing people over and over that would come on and show his show and talk about the Biden decline. And he would say, there's no proof of that. Yeah, you can't say
behind
that.
Behind the doors, we're hearing he's a genius. Yeah, that's the stuff he was saying during.
He's going to sell a book, Tapper is. And so it's just interesting that he would be the one to come out and say, hey, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, American people, but Biden was in incredible decline and it was being hidden from you. Yeah, by you.
By you. Yeah, thanks.
Seems to me.
Hey, we'll come to the phones and the text line. We come back 251-343-0106 and more Mobile Mornings on the way.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Little Wet Willie getting us into the weekend, not just a weekend, but a big weekend.
Yeah, Mardi Gras weekend, and we're going to go to the phone lines here, 251-343-0106, and Mark is in Sims, and he's on our phones. Hey, good morning, Mark.
Hey, guys. I know this is the Fine Bob Show, but you guys are on top of your sports games, so I want to run something past you and get your opinion.
Okay.
Recently, at the Alabama-Auburn basketball game in Alabama, and I'm not picking on Alabama because I understand, you know, talking to other people, this is happening at a lot of schools, but the the chant before the game started from the crowd was "F.U. Auburn, F.U. Auburn, F.U. Auburn," and they used the word. Mm-hmm. They didn't just say "F.U." They used the word.
Right.
And I'm thinking, I heard it. And I mean, I wasn't there, but it was on social media. They had a film of it and the words. And I'm looking at little kids in the crowd, and I'm thinking, you know, what is going on here? So I understand there's several schools that have chants like this. LSU's one of them. Auburn probably has one of them. I don't know. But and then I see, you know, Alabama baseball comes back from a 10-0 deficit, mm-hmm. Playing Ohio State, you know, and wins the game. Congratulations, guys. Great game. But there's a picture that makes social media of 9 or 10 of the guys from the Alabama baseball team flipping off Ohio State, and the caption is "F.U. Ohio State."
Wow. Wow.
So what? Why are these coaches allowing this? Why are these general managers, stadium managers, whatever, you know, the chancellor of the university allowing stuff like this to make it to social media without consequences? What are we raising here?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, go ahead, Don.
Well, yeah, Mark, that's a great question.
It really
and
is.
I don't know if it's been like a slow devolving of, you know, how people act in public. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we saw politically, we also saw it. Remember the NASCAR race, the blank Joe Biden that turned into "Let's go, Brandon." I don't know. It's a cultural thing. And for all I know, you know, there were things being chanted at games back in the 40s and 50s and 60s. But now, you know, it goes viral. You see it over and over again. LSU one to me is the most egregious.
Mm-hmm.
And remember on College Game Day, they were shouting it, you know, and, I'm watching College Game Day still as a 33-year-old, but I was watching it as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, too. I don't know, because there's a line between, you know, fans having fun and having a good time, but then there are kids out there, and it's a bad look. Yeah, Mark, I don't know the answer.
Dan, I know your kids are older, and one of them, God bless him, passed away. Thank you for his service. But
yes, sir.
Dalton, your kids are young. Well, you know, you get tickets. Someone gives you tickets to the game. And you go to the, I don't know if it's happening at JAG games, but you go to the game, and you're sitting there with your kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like watching TV at home. You can't watch TV anymore.
Right.
But, you know, you're sitting there at the game, and someone's F you in this, F you in that. You know, I'm pretty, of course, I've had my butt beaten several times, but, you know, in public, when someone says that to me, and my grandchildren, and I'll walk up to them, and I'll tell them, you know, stop it right now.
Yeah, and good on you, Mark. And Dan and I were actually talking about this not that long ago.
Yeah.
That same thing happened with me. We were at a Titans game when I was a child, and there were a couple kids, 20-something, young, just cussing up a storm. My dad, I was telling you about this not that long ago, he tapped one on the shoulder and he said, "Hey, there's kids right here.
Right.
Maybe keep that language down." But when it's the whole crowd.
I mean, J.J. Redick faced that at the University of Maryland, where it was F.U. J.J.,
mm-hmm.
and it was on national, it was on ESPN. Like you said, Mark, it wasn't F.U., it was, you know.
The whole thing,
And so you would see it from time to time. And also, we talked about this, too. There just seems to be a standard that's really slipped all the way. When you have these teams win championships, Mark, and they have a parade throughout the city, and it ends up somewhere, and everybody is trashed and saying whatever the heck they want to say, whatever language they want to use, you've got the makeup of all kinds of kids in the audience. I just don't, and the coach will be that way. What's for the Denver Nuggets?
Out of the trailer.
We're going to run up against a break here, Mark, but we appreciate it. Sorry we couldn't really solve anything.
Well, and thanks, Mark. Let me solve it real quick, Dan.
Okay.
This is how you fix it. And I know, you know, they'll fine them for storming the court and everything. I don't know if there's any salty language fines from the crowd. But you get the women, you get the sorority women to start thinking and letting the guys know it's distasteful, mm-hmm. and they don't like it.
Yeah.
That's how you get it to stop.
No dates on Saturday night.
That's right.
It's 8:30 with Dan and Dalton.
A35 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile mornings, and what a great time of year. hopefully the weather continues on this trend, but there's also a lot to do and a lot of sports to watch as well. We've been talking about the high school games ongoing in Birmingham, but also SEC play wrapping up here very soon with conference tournaments on the way. You have NBA regular season and playoffs also on the way. All kinds of great sports action. PGA Tour fully rolling now. NASCAR and Underdog Sports is the place to be if you're a sports fan. And you like to have a little fun while you watch those games and maybe win some money as well. And Underdog is available to play in the state of Alabama. I've been doing it for some time now and having a great time. Underdog is one of the leading sports apps. If you want to win up to 1,000 times your money, you can with Underdog. And it's easy to play. In order to set up your entry, you need to choose whether a player will go higher or lower on one of their stats. In basketball, that would be like points, assists, or rebounds. In a game like hockey, also points, assists, goals saved, things of that nature. And you can mix and match teams, leagues, stars, create entries with all basketball selections, or you can mix and match across other sports. All you need are at least two players to create your entry, but the more players you add to that entry, the more money you might win. Already, millions of fans have won billions making plays on Underdog. Their app has over 100,000 five-star reviews and millions of players. So to get started and maybe have a little fun tomorrow while Auburn's playing at Kentucky or Bama at Tennessee, download the Underdog Fantasy app and sign up now using the promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. You do that, you'll unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. It's the Underdog Fantasy app, promo code Dalton. Claim that special offer, get up to $1,000 instantly upon first deposit in bonus cash. Must be 19 plus in Alabama and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Marco Rubio has been in the spotlight a little bit here for his work as Secretary of State for the United States. And I'm just saying that watching him with his temperament and his words and his clear thinking and understanding that what you're trying to do is you're trying to achieve what's best for the United States, number one. That's mm-hmm. where you're trying. That's how these decisions come down. He was talking with Breitbart, an extensive long-form interview, which I would recommend that you you find. You'll have an idea what Rubio is thinking, you know, with the terms of the international stage and America's part in it all. And of course, we're right in the middle of nearly everything at this point. But when he was talking, he did talk a little bit about that. I think it was a UN resolution, mm-hmm. and was Russia to blame for, you know, and the United States basically stayed neutral on that vote.
No, they voted no. There were, I think, Iran and China abstained,
okay.
believe it or not. We voted with Russia and North Korea and one or two other
countries.
Maybe? I think Iran actually, I might be wrong. They may have voted with it, but I know China abstained. And then all the rest of our allies voted
right.
for it. But, you know, it was obvious what we were doing.
Yeah, Rubio says, you know, we had our reasons. There's no need to get all jacked up about that. Here's Rubio speaking on that.
Everyone knows, you know, you can go back and read newspaper articles over the last 3 years and figure out what happened in Ukraine. But now, as the president's made very clear, President Trump wants to end this war. He thinks far too many people have died and he wants to bring it to an end. So we didn't feel it was conducive, frankly, to have something out there at the UN that's antagonistic against either side. We're trying to get these guys to the table. And unfortunately, Ukraine didn't agree. They wanted to move forward on theirs. We then went to the Security Council with our compromise, which I think is a very fair language, and it basically says war is a terrible thing.
I don't think that Trump's being given, well, he's not given, being given much credit from the left. They're still butthurt over the whole election.
Yeah.
But when you look at the things that he's done, not just with Doge and the cost-cutting and the finding the fraud and all the wasteful spending, and we knew that was part of government in the first place. So this was not it wasn't a shocking headline, like, oh, my God, I never would have imagined. Maybe we would not have imagined certain things that were spent on and how the money went out the door. We knew it was happening. But when you look at what Trump is, his whole tone internationally is peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that people are really talking about that enough, although Rubio is.
By the way, I think everybody should be very happy that President Trump is a peace president. We have a president that wants to end wars, not start new ones. He wants to end human suffering, not exacerbate it or extend it. Now, that said, it's a conflict. It's a war. And it's going back and forth. We got to get them both to the table, because you can't stop a war unless both sides agree to it. So whether it takes days or weeks or what have you, we're going to begin that process. It may not work out, but why would anybody criticize President Trump for wanting to end a war that's cost billions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of lives, and tremendous and ongoing human suffering?
I think he and Zelensky will quickly reset when they meet today. And my guess would be that, you know, he's already talked with Putin. He feels like he's close to an agreement with him, or has an agreement with Zelensky today. I would think that's probably what's going to happen here, too. I don't think there's going to be a lot of kicking and screaming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he called him a name last week. He kind of joked about it yesterday. I didn't even realize I did that. Yeah, well, you did it. But that's Donald Trump.
I can't wait to see. I mean, every one of these has been made for TV, yeah, right? They had cameras inside the cabinet meeting the other day.
Yeah, that was
they
pretty cool.
They have cameras. Just the only thing they don't have cameras in are the actual one-on-one meetings between these world leaders who are coming in and Trump. But other than that, the entertainer continues to entertain. So I am interested to see today.
Me too.
And I find myself, not that I wasn't already a news junkie, but it's tough to keep up with Trump in the news. Like when he flew to California a few weeks ago to observe the wildfire damage, I tuned in, not because he was touring, but I wanted to see his interaction with Gavin Newsom when he landed on the tarmac.
Yeah.
And I was tuning in for that. I wanted to see Macron. What was that handshake like when he hopped out of the van, you know, or out of the whatever limo he rode in on? That was, you know, they did the handshake thing. Starmer, I paid a little less attention to yesterday, but certainly was watching for the interview and things like that. And he was a little more jolly, which I guess fits with being the British man coming over, and seemed to have pretty good footing with Trump as, you know,
an
ally.
When they come out of the room, when they come out of the back room, it's like everything's good.
Yeah.
Good to go. And that seemed to be what we've seen time and time again.
But I will say, and I think it's going to, even as a Trump supporter, take a strong constitution to ride through how all of this plays out. Mm-hmm. And some of it might be simple, and you're like, wow, they did exactly what they said they were going to do. You know, this Israel and Gaza truce that's hanging by a thread.
Yes.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's all that needed to happen, and that's over. That's great. You know, maybe this Russia-Ukraine deal comes to an end smoothly. That'd be cool.
But Rubio even says it might not.
It might not. And as far as the homeland here, this tariffs thing, Lutnick was so fired up, Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, both in his Oval Office interview there with Trump, but also on with Bret Baier the other night. And he's so fired up, it's hard not to be optimistic about the future American economy that they're driving towards. But you just I feel there's some more financial heartache on the way. And I think it's a bunch of different factors, obviously. And I'm no economist, so I don't really know. But I think, you know, the Federal Bank, I think Jerome Powell and the Reserve, part of the reason they were lowering the interest rates as quickly as they were heading into the election was because they wanted the economy to look good, right?
Yep.
For Biden.
Yeah.
I think that is going to start to hurt us going forward. These tariff threats, I think some of these countries are going to, you know, it's a battle. I think they're going to hold out to at least try to cause some pain on the American consumer. And if we know anything, Americans, once they turn, they turn. So I think there's some rough seas ahead, especially that's something that Elon Musk has done his whole career. And I think it's something Trump has done their whole career. And there's a strategy to overpromising. You know, Elon has always said he's going to get something done in a way shorter amount of time than is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason behind that is because it drives them to, maybe they don't get something done then, but it'll get done faster than otherwise possible.
Sure.
And so there's been a whole lot of promises made, including with these Epstein files. And I think that's another thing yesterday. There's a lot of people already saying, wait a second, you promised us something.
I didn't like
that. We voted for you. And now
like
it seems like you're playing games, right?
Well, I don't know that he's playing games, but it kind of feels like the end result, someone's playing games. It could be the District of New York.
It is. I think it definitely is the Southern District of New York. That's what Bondi and Cash Patel are both saying.
Yeah.
So if you weren't following this yesterday or through this process, a big reason a lot of people voted for Trump was because the promises of releasing the Jeffrey Epstein black book, the client list, although the black book was just a contact book. Mm-hmm. But people want to see, we didn't get to see a trial. We need to see everything about this.
Yes.
And so that promise was made throughout the campaign, and I don't think they know what kind of hoops they would have to jump through to get a hold of those files. And then Bondi says she's going to release them and sets a deadline for yesterday. I don't remember what time, but yesterday was the deadline.
Well, then now today was eight this morning.
So she reset it. I need to see if
Eastern time
dropped. Yeah, I need to Google it. But what they did, they invited four or five social media influencers, and some of them, you know, I think they've done good work. Mike Cernovich, he's done good work in the past, but man, he is one of the most annoying people in the world. Yeah, and I like his worldview on some things.
You can do both, though.
DC Drano, annoying, right?
Yeah.
He's done a couple good things, yeah, sure. But so they were invited, these social media influencers, and were given these binders. And it looked like they were given the documents, these Epstein documents, and they were parading them around outside, and the White House media was able to get pictures of them. And then they all kind of had different stories about what happened and said they weren't, they were showing it off like it was some big thing.
Yeah.
But it ended up just being basic information that we had already had. They said around 200 pages and mostly just contacts that Epstein had. So big names, yeah, sure, but no real insight into their connection with Epstein.
Beyond the fact that they're connected.
And it was just 200 pages. We already know there were way more pages of evidence or whatever documents they're looking for than that. So Bondi, the AG, Patel, the FBI director, they're both on a mission now. They're saying, you know, the Southern District of New York are the ones holding this up and putting up roadblocks. But yesterday was not a good look, the way they kind of handled that.
I didn't like it at all. And I guess it was like later in the afternoon, and you saw these, I didn't realize who they were, these influencers, but holding up the binders, and the name was clearly on there, like, look what I've got.
Mm-hmm. Smiling.
And, yeah, as it turns out, Big Nothing Burger. And now, so we'll see what happened with Bondi today. She did set 7 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern is when she had this deadline to make sure to say, hey,
get them here now.
Get them here now. So we'll see what kind of power she has in the AG office with the Southern District of New York, because that seems to be the spot, right?
That's who they're blaming, for sure.
And also, on a just different area altogether, you mentioned when Trump went out to the West Coast, and I tell you what, Newsom, what a bag of nothing. he started his podcast.
I saw that, yeah.
And did you see the rolling that out?
I didn't watch it. I just saw that he had a podcast coming out,
Absolutely terrible. And his first podcast has got nothing to do with, oh, what happened in the state? Let me think. The wildfires burned half of the city down.
Yeah.
The podcast number one has got nothing to do with that. How can you be the governor of the state, the guy that everybody is looking at, because you can't look at Karen Bass. She also had an interview one-on-one with a news station in L.A., and it was absolutely pathetic.
You were telling me about that. I saw that she said she wanted to investigate why she was allowed to leave the country before the wildfire. So she's going to, and she let that person go, right? She let I can't remember who it was.
Assistants scheduled her to leave. She did everything in that interview. Not only did she not take any accountability for what happened, she wasn't really running for cover. She wasn't really lying her way out of a bunch of stuff. That it just seemed like she was completely unaware.
Wow.
I mean, it was really pathetic. And for whatever reasons, L.A., that's the candidate you voted for. Well, you got her. And in the biggest moment, she disappeared, and she doesn't even feel like she owes anybody anything for that.
Wow. Hey, doesn't have Meta's take on the Epstein files. He says it's chess, not checkers, guys. They are exposing that New York FBI office. It's a long play. Be patient. Long plays don't have much run in a four-year term.
So no.
We'll see how long a play this is.
Yeah, look, if Bondi was surprised and Cash Patel was surprised, got to give us a break, doesn't have Meta. Can't we be a little surprised and disappointed? It is 8:49 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. Dan Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 853. Hey, remember that that Navy ship rolls in about 11 o'clock this morning if you're down that way at the pier just north of the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome them to town, and 300 of them in all, I believe,
sailors. Yeah, this texter said just crossed the causeway, saw the Navy ship coming up the channel. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah.
That's something else, seeing the USS McFall, the destroyer, on its way in. Fire Dog, so we were talking about salty language at sports games earlier, thanks to that call from Mark. And he said, I graduated from UCLA in the early 90s, and even there, the language wasn't as bad as it is now, today. At a lot of these sports games, but really SEC we were talking about in particular. Who was it? I think Michael said, I want to go to the games too. I want to go to the game with my kids too. Get off my lawn, you rude whippersnappers. We were also talking about the Epstein files and the failed release yesterday. James said, the question is how much can Trump's base take before they turn on him? Based on the town halls held so far, it's not looking good. And I'm thinking more specifically about the supporters of other candidates who jumped over to the Trump train. You know, the RFK supporters, the Gabbard supporters.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're still riding, but if you don't start seeing results, yeah, I don't know. And I know we're only a month in.
Well,
you don't want to
watch CNN all day long if you're trying to stay yeah. level-headed about Trump.
And then James said they're holding Diddy accountable, but not the people that were associated with Epstein. It looks real shady, guys. Yeah, and you could say they're holding Diddy accountable, but we got to this point with Epstein too. You mm-hmm. might remember he was in a jail cell.
Yes, he was.
It didn't make it much past that. So maybe the Diddy thing won't either. But there's intelligence at play here. That's the thing. You know, the Epstein thing was certainly an intelligence op of some sorts.
Yep.
They either took advantage of something he was already doing, or it was even worse than that. But I think, you know, the people that have really dug into this that aren't intelligence themselves seem to think it's intelligence. I wanted to talk about a viral story this week, and it's not a good thing, but it actually might be one of the most horrific things I've seen. So I was online like I am normally on X earlier this week, and there's a story that went viral.
Ole Miss?
Out of Ole Miss, yeah. And it was basically, they said that there's a freshman student there, a boy, dating, I don't know if she's a freshman girl or what, or if she's in a sorority, or if they were high school sweethearts, but the story was that she finished her exams early at Ole Miss, and then she went home, and that she had relations with this other, her boyfriend's father. And when this went viral,
how did it go viral?
People were absolutely, it went viral because it's so dramatic, right? It's like, oh my God, it's something you'd see on a TV show. And there were like screenshots being passed around, people telling how the story went down. It was like we were reading small town drama from a town we're not from, right?
She returned home, went to a game, and watched her boyfriend's sister play in a
basketball game. That's what they said. That's what the allegations were, right? And so, I was thinking this, I didn't really even want to follow the story. I kind of put my phone down. I didn't, but you couldn't get away from it because the people I was following were also all over this. But people were destroying her. Destroying this other kid, a freshman at Ole Miss, destroying the father, the mother. They came out with a statement yesterday. This got to the point where, like, Pat McAfee was talking about it on the air.
Yeah.
Josh Pate, another football analyst. You can imagine what this family's going through, even if what this was happened. And so the family put out a statement yesterday
family
denouncing
who?
The Cornett family. That's who they alleged. That's the girl.
Cornett. Okay.
Said they denounced the deliberate and coordinated cyber attack, spreading categorically false and defamatory action. I read through their statement, and more or less, they're saying that this was a frat prank. That so it spread around.
So the whole thing's a prank. She didn't go back to she didn't have relations with the dad.
The father wrote, "These past couple of days have been extremely difficult for everyone in my life." This is the father that was alleged in the story.
Okay. All right.
"The unbelievable rumor about my family and Mary Kate's are unacceptable and need to be addressed. The accusations are unequivocally false." So both families obviously coming out and saying, but I don't know. And the original story, I think it was trash. You know, that people were diving into lives like that. I know how you can kind of fall victim into falling into something like that. Mm-hmm. But if this was all a frat prank, or if this was all made up, it's one of the most horrific things I've seen in my life.
Terrible.
Can you imagine being 19 or 20, or even just a member of that family, and going worldwide viral. I'm talking millions and millions of people commenting on your personal life about something that maybe didn't happen, using your full name, finding your address.
Your pictures. That's pretty bad.
That's terrible.
Maybe in a week we'll have a conclusion to all this. Dan and Dalton, back with you Monday morning. We'll talk to you then. Enjoy Mardi Gras.